Okay. So this morning, as we continue on the Holy Spirit, we saw a few weeks ago that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And that as we look at who the Holy Spirit is, we can't ultimately separate him from the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son are intimately at work, working together and harmoniously together, fulfilling the same purpose and working in every part of creation and working harmoniously in every part of fulfilling God's plan. And one place we see this is in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to refer to it, but just to mention that verse and to put up before you what it looks like for the Father, the Son, and the Spirit to be at work. The Father is the one who plans. God the Father plans out the work of creation, and he plans out the work of salvation for his people. The Son is the Word. He's the one who acts out that plan. He acts out the plan of salvation that God himself has planned. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he applies and completes that plan, both in creation and then also in the hearts of his people. And as I've been studying and reflecting on the Holy Spirit within the Trinity, I'm just seeing more and more how the Father, Son, and Spirit are referred to in so many parts of the New Testament. And my hope is that as we learn more about the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives, you'll be able to see and your eyes will also be opened to where he reveals himself in Scripture, in so many parts of the Bible. One of these is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, which sometimes we close with in prayer. And I just want to read that to you, although I shouldn't have to read it, because the prayer is this: may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now when we read this prayer or pray this prayer, one thing we might, unless we understand how the Father, Son, and Spirit works together, we may think that these are separate activities, separate kind of prayers, like may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's one prayer, and the love of God, that's another part of the prayer, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that's another prayer. But if we understand that Father, Son, and Spirit are working together for the same purpose, then this is how we need to understand it. See, when we pray the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the way in which the love of God the Father is demonstrated to us. See, the love of God is seen in the grace, in sending his Son Jesus into the world. So we experience the love of God through the grace that comes through Jesus. And how do we even believe in this grace? It's through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit enables us to apply the truth of Jesus having been sent by God the Father in his love, and he unites us to himself. He unites us to the Son and to the Father. And so the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is our union with God. It's what the Holy Spirit does to unite us to God, to know his fatherly love shown to us in his Son. And we'll see this in how it applies to us in prayer itself. Because I want to show that the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer by enabling us to cry out to God the Father, to know the Father's love, to know the Father's love as he reveals himself in the Son, our Lord Jesus, And he enables us to pray with confidence that he hears us. So this is how the Holy Spirit helps us. And this is these are the three key points that I'll be making from the two passages we've read. That the Holy Spirit helps us to know the Father's love as he reveals that love in the Son, and as he enables us to pray with the confidence that God hears us. The greatest privilege as Christians, as followers of Christ, is to know God as Father. See, to know God as our Heavenly Father is not a natural right. We need to understand that to know God as Father is a relationship that we do not deserve. Jesus describes our relationship with God in this way, that we, each of us, are like the story of the prodigal son. See, all of us, we've been created by God for intimate relationship with him, to honor him, to thank him, to depend on him. And yet from the very beginning, represented in the actions of Adam and Eve, we rejected God. We disobeyed God. We rebelled against him. And like the prodigal son in the story who disowns his father, who says, "I want to take my inheritance. I want to take it. I want to go. I want to leave you right now with everything that you want to give me. And I no longer want any relationship with you. And I want to spend everything that you have given me for myself without you in my life any longer." And that's the story of the prodigal son. And that story is a reflection of the world as it is today. See, all of us, we enjoy everything that God has given us. And yet, for most of us, and by nature, we want to enjoy it without God. We disown the God who has made us. And yet, by God's grace, by an act of undeserved love, God reaches out to us and he enables some through Jesus and through the forgiveness that comes through him to once again know him as Father. Jesus in his earthly life demonstrates the intimacy that he had with God, that he has with God, that no other human has ever had or ever experienced. And one of the places Jesus was in his earthly life was constantly in prayer, constantly drawing near to God in prayer, drawing away from the crowds in order to spend time with God. But one of the moments where Jesus reveals the extent of his intimacy with God, his Father, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before his arrest, the night of his arrest. We're told in Mark chapter 14 that it was a moment of his greatest need, and in his humanity, in his weakness, Jesus was deeply distressed and in deep sorrow. And he goes ahead of them. Goes a little way ahead of his disciples, and he falls to the ground. And do you remember what he prays? He prays, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father. If at all possible, everything is possible with you. If at all possible, take this cup from me." But the key words I want to emphasize here are the words "Abba, Father." The most intimate name for God that Jesus reveals to us, that reveals his intimate relationship with him. The word "Abba" is the Aramaic word. Is an Aramaic word that is used by a child for their own biological father. When we use the word "father," very rarely do we in English call our father "father." And sometimes I play with the kids, they might call me "daddy," and I say, "call me father," or we might. I'll skip that story. But I was going to, okay. Since I've got your attention, so one of these, One of the clips that I showed the kids was in Star Wars when Darth Vader cut off his son's Luke Skywalker's hand, and he cries and he says, "I am your father," and Luke Skywalker goes, "No, you're not my father." And so that's one of the scenes that with Caleb and Micah we sometimes play out. they've got their lightsabers and they chop off our hands. But the word father is not a word we normally use to that Caleb and Micah normally call me. They don't say father. You know, can I have a drink? Father, I want to play. They say, what do they call? They say daddy, or they say dad. And this is really what the word Abba actually means. Abba is not a title. It's an intimate name that the child calls his own father. Abba, dad, or daddy. And that's what Jesus calls his own father. See, it expresses how intimate that relationship is. A name that expresses the love, the trust, the dependence, the security that a son has with his own father, that Jesus has with his own father. And here is the incredible thing. The incredible thing and the incredible news of the gospel is that when we're brought into relationship with God through Christ, that in Christ, we've been brought into this same relationship with God as our Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, which was read just then, says this: "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit who received you, you received, brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." See, this is the incredible relationship that you and I, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus as the one who died for your sins and who has brought you to God, has brought you to God, your Father. And by the Spirit, we now know him, we trust him as our Abba Father, our dad in heaven. Not someone who's distant, not someone who's uncaring, not someone who's cold and absent, but God, our Abba Father, who is ever present, ever loving, powerfully protecting, providing, and teaching his people, his very own children. And you see, what we learn here is that it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to know him in this way. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to know God as our Abba Father. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now, if you know God in this way, this is the objective reality, right, of our relationship with God. But it applies to our hearts as the Holy Spirit applies that truth and it enables us to believe it. But isn't it true that we struggle? You know, at times we struggle in our prayers. We don't always see God in this same way. At times we may feel that our prayer life is a bit empty and a bit dry. At times we feel that our prayers are hollow, that we maybe as we pray, may even just be praying to ourselves. We're opening our mouths, we're going through the motions. But what should give us, an incredible confidence in prayer is knowing, is being reminded about the relationship that we have with God that the Holy Spirit enables us to have. To know that we have a Father in heaven who is with us by His Spirit and who loves us deeply. And we need to know that because God is our Father, that He's truly our Father, then the effectiveness of our prayer does not depend ultimately on our love for Him. The effectiveness of our prayer does not depend on our love for God, but on His love for us. It is His love for us that makes our prayers effective. Now, I remember specifically a time when I was feeling spiritually dry, and I wasn't, I was feeling a bit empty and a bit I didn't feel very much at that time, and as I was reflecting on a desire to feel closer to God, I was reminded by this truth. That while my emotions may go up and down, God's fatherly love for me doesn't change. God's fatherly love for me doesn't change. God's fatherly love for me is unchanging. It's always present, always powerful, always working for my ultimate good. Now, for some people, it's a difficult idea to believe that God is this good, that God our, especially as that God our Father, is this good. And all of us have an experience of our parents in different. We experience our parents, our mothers, and our fathers in different ways. Some of us have got good experiences of our dads. Some of us have a bad experience. Some have got mixed experience. But we need to know that the Spirit, as He enables us to put our trust in Jesus, brings us to know God, our Father, who is perfect in every way. He is perfect in every way. He will never fail us. He will never leave us. He will always work for our good. And the Holy Spirit enables us to trust in Him, to know Him in this way. But there's an objective reality too. There's an objective reason we can know that our Heavenly Father loves us. And it's in this. It's in that He has demonstrated that love in His own Son. He has revealed His love to us. So in the first reading, this is what Paul says, Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the extent of God's love and the objective reality of God's love is that He sent His only Son to die for us. In our place, for our sins. This is how God demonstrates His own love for us. When we were at our very worst, He sent His Son that He might die for our sins. I was talking to someone just this week who has fallen away, and the reason he's fallen away is because he's struggled to see that God actually cares for him. Through his experience of suffering or his observations of other people's suffering, he struggled to see that God actually cares and how He's cared, and therefore whether or not He exists. And I think there's obviously a spiritual reality. He needs God's Holy Spirit to help him to believe. But there's also the objective reality. He also needs to know that God has cared for him in an undeniable, in a way that he has demonstrated fully and completely, which is in the death of his son. And that's what I said at the end. I said, you know, at the end, you know, how do I know God cares? Ultimately, when I don't feel that he cares, I can know that he cares because of the cross, because Jesus died for me in my place. We can know through the cross. And that is what the Holy Spirit, again, enables us to believe and to see. The Holy Spirit enables us to believe this truth. Let me get you to look at, open with me to, let me turn the page back to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. And this connection is made really clearly. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. So Paul is saying that, you know, in the context of suffering, we can grow in perseverance and character and hope. And hope does not disappoint us or does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That is, God's love, God's fatherly love, has been poured out into our hearts. So there's this subjective reality, the application of the truth of God's love. But then it's directly connected to this objective reality. And this is what he said, like, we continue on. Verse 6, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So do you see how the Spirit's work is directly connected to Jesus' work, to the work of the Father and the work of the Son? That it is that he pours out his God's love has been poured out his God's love has been poured out into our hearts by his Holy Spirit as he shows us the demonstration of his love in his Son. And so if you are to understand the love of the Father seen in the Son, and as you realize that and believe in that and trust in that more and more, is the Holy Spirit working in you and drawing you near to God, applying these spiritual realities in your life and in my life, enabling us in this context to call out to God as Abba, Father. A prayer of dependence, of trust, of gratitude, of adoration. The Holy Spirit draws us to him. And as the Holy Spirit works in this way, it's good to remember that the Holy Spirit in the end is not never interested in drawing attention to himself. See, last week we looked at John chapter 16, where Jesus says, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. He will point to me. He will draw your attention to me. And this is what it means for him to draw attention to Jesus. He will point us to the love of the Father seen in the sacrificial and glorious death of his Son. So the Holy Spirit works behind the scenes, enabling us to believe and to trust in him. In John chapter 3, when Jesus is having a conversation with a Pharisee, Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who is working behind the scenes, carrying out the Father's work, bringing new life to those who are once dead, bringing faith to those who once did not believe, bringing a relationship with God as our Father through the Son. And so it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, through Him, that is through Jesus, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Through Jesus, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. The Spirit is the hidden hand of God, the hidden person of God, who applies the love of God into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit enables us to believe, and He also has an ongoing role in confirming the reality of this relationship with God our Father. But here's a third way that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, and it's in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with words, through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, we are told here, by enabling us, by interceding for us before God. So that even when we can't fully express ourselves, the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer. So the context of this passage is that again, in the context of suffering, that when we as Christians are struggling to know how to pray, we're calling out to God, Abba Father, we don't know how to fully express ourselves. We don't know how to put perfectly into words what we want to ask, what we want to say to God. We're told here that the Spirit Himself helps us in our weakness. He perfects our imperfect prayers and brings them to God so God hears it perfectly. God hears our cries. He understands perfectly what we're trying to ask. And how this can encourage us is this. We can ask that God by His Spirit would help us to pray. We can know that God knows what we want even before we ask. And even when we don't ask perfectly, through Christ and by His Spirit, He hears me perfectly. He hears my prayers perfectly. That's a great encouragement to prayer, isn't it? And even when I don't know what to pray, but I come earnestly to God, I can know that God not only knows, but He hears me perfectly. And He answers according to His fatherly love and goodness. It should give us incredible confidence to pray, because the Holy Spirit is at work interceding for us. The Holy Spirit knows our minds, and the Father knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, does this mean that God always hears our prayers? Does it mean He always responds to our prayers? Well, James chapter 4 tells us that there are times when God doesn't hear our prayers because we pray with wrong motives. that when we pray selfishly, when we pray in a way that dishonors Him, that doesn't truly desire Him, God doesn't hear or answer those kind of prayers. But when we come to Him earnestly and sincerely, when we cry out to Him as Abba Father, and as we do it, struggling with our sin, asking for forgiveness, and as we're struggling to put into words what we're trying to ask, God hears us perfectly. He accepts that prayer, and He answers that prayer, and He responds to that prayer as our perfect Heavenly Father, who has already demonstrated His love to us through His Son. And so this is the great hidden reality that we're not always aware of. That God, as Father, Son, and Spirit, is at work completely and sufficiently for fulfilling His purpose, bringing us into relationship with Him as His children, and keeping us there, and enabling us to pray, enabling us to trust in Him, and to pray to Him, and to love Him, and to trust Him, and to depend on Him in all of our prayers. And this should encourage us to keep on coming to Him. It should encourage us when we're feeling dry, when we're feeling empty or hollow, to remember that it doesn't depend on how you feel, but it depends on God's objective and unchanging love for you, demonstrated in His Son. But it is by His Spirit that He hears us and knows us. And for those who are not yet Christians, one of the ways that we can encourage you or support you is this, that you can pray to God that He might work in you by His Holy Spirit, that He might give His Holy Spirit to you. Because it is only by the Holy Spirit that you can believe. And those of us who are Christians, we can pray for those who don't yet know God, that God might help them to know Him through His Holy Spirit, as the gospel of the Lord Jesus is shared to them, that they might understand it with their minds and believe it in their hearts. We can thank God for the incredible relationship we have with Him. We can pray that He might give us a growing assurance of that love that He has for us. Let me finish by reading this prayer that Paul prays from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. And I think if this is the promise that God has given, that He's given us His Holy Spirit to all His people, that we might believe in His love demonstrated in His Son, then this is the kind of prayer that we can continue to pray, that we might grow in the knowledge of that love. And it's a prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian church. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Amen. Let me encourage you to reflect on that prayer and to pray that prayer for yourselves and for each one of us, that the objective reality of God's love for us in Christ might increasingly grow as the subjective reality that we believe and know and trust in.